Hallo?
Die telefoongidsen voor Johannesburg en Witwatersrand in drie delen is hier. Insluitende die nieuwe afzonderlijke geelbladzij telefoongids. Gaan halen hulle bij uw postkantoor, nou.
En nou is het 37.
This is Henry Simon bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. The Colgate Show, address unknown, is brought to you by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Beauty Soap, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc.
In one moment, the search for Stephen Bartlett, address unknown.
And here again is Henry Simon.
Anne Frank, the young German girl made famous by the writings in her wartime diary, once said that she believed most people were essentially good, despite the occasional things they did which seemed to belie that statement. I, too, believe in the basic fundamental goodness of humanity, but I'm certainly not unaware of its shortcomings, nor blind to its very often brutal and harsh realities. One takes people on the basis of their general behavior, not judging them on their occasional lapses. But I sometimes wonder if the lapses are not often the true indications as to their real nature. I remember a woman coming into my office some years ago and asking us for assistance. Mrs. Ruth Bartlett was a woman of about 40, who was, I suppose, at the time, normally quite cheerful and pleasant. When I first saw her, however, I saw a woman utterly miserable and pathetic, whose eyes told a graphic story of frequent, recent tearfulness.
You've simply got to help me find my husband, Mr. Simon. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know where to look, where to turn. He needs help. On his own like this, he's just no good to himself or to anyone else either. I'm so worried about him.
Now, just calm down, Mrs. Bartlett. Let's take this quietly and unemotionally, if possible. First, the facts, if you please. Your husband is missing, I take it.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Simon. I know I'm being incoherent and irrational, but sometimes I just can't help it. But I will try to help to keep calm. Yes, Stephen's missing. He's been gone for nearly 3 weeks. During this time, I've not seen him at all. I've heard from him, but I haven't seen him.
You've heard from him how? By telephone?
Yes, and a note. He left a note when he went off, and he's left another in the flat since then. He came to collect some washing, some clothing of his.
Then, is your husband really missing, Mrs. Bartlett? I mean, is there any point in our trying to find him if it's simply a case of his having left you and taken up residence elsewhere?
No, it's more than that. Stephen's sick, you see, that this is all an emotional thing sometimes, or perhaps even mental. Perhaps that's a more accurate word for it.
Mental? You sure, Mrs. Bartlett? It is rather a strong word to use.
I'm sure. Stephen's been seeing a psychiatrist about all this. You see, it isn't the first time. Not for me, not for his first wife either. He has a history of behaving like this. There's some medical name for the behavior pattern, but I can't think what it is right now. If you want to follow it up, Dr. Frobisher will explain it all to you.
What kind of behavior pattern is it? How does it manifest itself with your husband?
Well, he just goes off, disappears. Sometimes he stays in the same city, sometimes he goes elsewhere, lives in another town, takes another job, tries to start a new existence, but it doesn't work. Sooner or later, he contacts me again, comes back. But I'm not sure that I can take any more of it. I'm a nervous wreck. I live for the sound of my telephone or the noise of his key in the front door. I'm on a tightrope all the time. I hardly sleep. I can't eat properly. It's no good, you see. This time I can't go through with it on his terms again. I can't go through the daily motions of my own existence waiting for him to decide when he's going to come back to me. Or if he is. I want him found, Mr. Simon. I want to talk to him and get this thing settled one way or the other.
Perhaps this is too obvious a question, but why do you wait for him? If he wants to leave you like this, if he finds living with you so intolerable that he has to run away every so often, why not simply let him make a life for yourself without him?
I've asked myself the same question many times, Mr. Simon. I give myself the pat little answers, the comforting excuses and reasons. I tell myself that I truly love Stephen, that I don't know what a life without him could be like, but that I'd be failing in my duty as a wife if I deserted him. I try to make out that it's my fault, that it's all due to something that I've done. And, of course, the little rational voice inside me murmurs that he did exactly the same thing before he met me, so I can't be to blame. It's a vicious circle of my own thoughts.
You say he did this with his first wife. Where is she now? Does he see her at all?
No, he doesn't. She remarried, went out with her new husband to settle in South Africa. But this was the horrifying thing to me when I heard about it. Stephen had 3 children by his first marriage. When he finally gave his wife her divorce, he walked out of their lives completely. He's never seen them since, except furtively, like someone spying on them, you know, waiting around their school and then following them to a playground and watching them from a distance. It seems rather sick to me. It's not a natural thing to have done at all. But then Stephen is sick. He is, I know it. I've spoken to Dr. Frobisher about it, and he's explained it all to me. Maybe that's the reason I can't just ditch him now. I sometimes feel that it's like callously walking out on a bedridden invalid who's dependent on me.
Well, you'd better give us some details, Mrs. Bartlett. Your home address?
We have a flat. 12 Northcombe Mansions, Boone Terrace, in Knightsbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fancy, but it's pleasant. Nice, comfortable little home. More than enough for the two of us.
I see. You've no children of your own, then?
No, we've only been married for 3 years, you see. I was in my late 30s. I shied clear of marriage until then.
Might I ask why?
Afraid, more than anything else. I know quite a lot of men. There'd be no big romances, really. I valued my independence. I was secure in my own little world. I didn't want to throw it all up and make a disastrous marriage just because I sometimes felt cold at night because I craved a companion. Then along came Stephen. He was different to all the others. Warm, considerate, thoughtful. Strong, I thought at the time. Strong, that's a laugh. For a while, everything seemed to be going along wonderfully. Well, we were happy. Oh, not like 2 silly teenagers gushing about love at every second minute. Just quiet and happy, that's all. At least I was. I wonder if Stephen ever really was happy.
What work does your husband do?
Salesman. Electrical fittings and appliances. You know, television, radio, fridges, stoves, that sort of thing. Oh, a good one. His boss always raves about how good he is. That's the reason he always takes him back again, afterwards.
Oh, he goes back to the same job every time he gets back from one of these absences of his, then?
Oh, yes, Mr. Munro takes him back. He says Stephen's one of the best and most liked people he's ever had working for him. But then, Mr. Munro doesn't have to live with him, does he?
No, I suppose not. How old is your husband?
41.
And you say on this occasion he's been away for 3 weeks. Was his going a surprise to you?
No, not at all. I'd seen it coming for weeks. He gets moody and snappy, irritable. Absolutely unapproachable, too. Real Jekyll and Hyde character. Oh, smiling and dependable for his customers. And a monster with me. We were sitting down to dinner on the Tuesday before he left. The next day was his payday, so I suppose that had something to do with it. I broached the subject. Stephen.
What is it?
You're going, aren't you? And soon. You're going off on one of those trips of yours.
What difference does it make?
Difference? Oh, how cruel you can be. Of course it makes a difference. You just pack a bag and walk out, and I've no idea where you are, or even if you're coming back.
Then why bother? Why don't you just divorce me and get it all over with?
Stephen, please. Please don't be like that.
Oh, look, let's just drop it, shall we? There's no point in our talking about it. Your voice gets on my nerves. Sound like a martyr of that plaintive little whine of yours.
Has Dr. Frobisher been any help to you at all?
No, he hasn't. Dr. Frobisher has been no help to me at all. And why not? Because there happens to be nothing wrong with me. Now, don't forget, all this was your idea, not mine. You got down on your ruddy knees and begged me to go and see him. Said I needed help. Said a flipping psychiatrist would sort out all the little kinks in me. Well, you were wrong, Ruth, dear. There aren't any kinks to sort out.
Then why? Why? Oh. Why do you want to go? Why do you hurt me like this? Please, please tell me, Stephen.
Listen, has it ever occurred to you that I just get tired of seeing your face? That if I hear that nauseating whine of yours just once more, I'll go off my ruddy rocker? Did that thought ever seep into that mini brain of yours? Did it? What are you doing? What are you getting up for?
I just want to hold you, that's all. I just want you to feel the hurt in
me. Leave
me.
Sit down. Don't touch me, Ruth. Now go and sit down. Drink your coffee and just leave me alone. I don't want any talk, any touching, any communication. Just for the love of mercy, leave me alone.
Stephen, you're so cruel. You must know what you do to me when you say things like that. But you say them anyway. You don't care that he's like a knife inside me, twisting, hurting you. You just go on and on.
And that was the last time you saw him?
Yes. Next day when I got home from work, he'd gone. Just packed a suitcase and left me a terse little note saying he was going. He didn't know when he'd be back.
But you say you've heard from him since?
Twice, by phone. One via another note he left in the flat. They all said virtually the same thing. He's all right, living on his own, sorting out his thoughts. But not a word where he is, or what he's doing, or whether he's coming back, or anything. In the meantime, I've got to go on just normally, paying off the installments on the car and the furniture, running the flat, doing the buying and the laundry and the thousand and one little things that have to be done, keeping our home for him to come crawling back to when he's good and ready. But now I've just about had enough of it, Mr. Simon. I don't think I can take any more. I want you to find Stephen for me so I can meet him somewhere and talk to him.
Do you know what you want to say?
Roughly, yes. The important things, I know those.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
And this is what you want to do? You're quite sure in your own mind about that?
Yes, I am. There isn't any other way, really. I can't go on the way I've been, the way I am now. So I've got to do something. What else is there, Mr. Simon?
I don't know. I'm no counsel for problems of this nature. Sometimes I wish I were. I wish I was wise and sage and knowing, but I'm afraid I'm not. I run a missing persons bureau. We help to locate those that are missing, that's all. And there I think we can be of help, Mrs. Bartlett. We'll find your husband for you, I'm sure of that. I only hope that when we do, the rest of your problems will be solved as well. I sincerely hope so.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, Address Unknown.
Breakthrough from Colgate Palmolive. New enzyme active Punch washing powder.
Punch, the two-fisted one. Punch has both enzyme action to soak out stains and detergent action to wash in whiteness.
Yes, Punch has enzymes, a new kind of biological cleaning energy to soak out bad stains like gravy, beetroot, even blood. And Punch gives your normal wash a new sparkling whiteness.
After all, that's what we housewives want, isn't it? A stain-free wash is not enough unless it's sparkling white, too.
That's right. New Punch soaks out stains and washes in whiteness.
Get new Punch washing powder. Punch, the two-fisted one.
Shaving time. Palmolive shaving cream makes a shave as smooth as it sounds.
The smoothest way to start your day is with a Palmolive shave.
Real smooth.
And here again is Henry Simon.
I obtained the relevant names and addresses from Mrs. Bartlett, as well as any other information which I thought might be of help to us in locating her missing husband. The first name on the list was Dr. Frobisher. I telephoned the man and made an appointment for my agent to call round and see him later the same day, and he was most obliging about it all. Then I called in Agent Luke Parker and handed the assignment over to him. I gave him everything I had by way of information, told him of the appointment with Dr. Frobisher, and listened to his comments. They were few, and Parker immediately started on the remaining names on the list. John Monroe, Bartlett's employer, who ran an electrical equipment business in London. Parker saw him an hour later in his private office.
Stephen, eh? She wanted to know about him. Well, I'll be quite honest with you. The sooner we get him back, the better I'll like it. One of the best men I've ever had working for me.
What sort of man is he, Mr. Monroe?
I told you. One of the best. Salt of the earth. Utterly charming. Absolutely wonderful with customers. He sells more of our goods than all the rest of the sales staff put together. People take to Stephen, you see. They trust him. They know that he won't be taking them for a ride, and he never does, I need hardly add. Now, I trust him with my life. The man's that honest.
And yet, he's the sort of guy who just ups and takes off on his own every now and then. No explanations, no warnings to you, no anything. This is trustworthy?
Personality failing, that's all. It's his private business, not for me to go sticking my nose into. When he's with me, he's a man I'd stick by every day of the week. Does his job, and does it better than anyone else. Gives me his loyalty. So when he has these troubles of his, I stick by him. I keep his job open for him. And he always comes back, Mr. Parker. That's the whole point, you see. No matter what the reason for these going away of his, he comes back to me once he's sorted himself out. And when he does, he works twice as hard. I have no complaints.
You've no idea where he might have gone to this time, do you? Mrs. Bartlett is kind of anxious to contact him.
No idea at all, old man. None of my business. Stephen doesn't discuss his problems with me. I've no right to go barging in on his private life.
You don't have any idea what makes him do something like this every now and then? No beginning of an idea?
Well, when a married man does a thing like that, I suppose you don't have to look much further than the wife, do you? You know the old saying, Mr. Parker? What goes on behind the bedroom door is private, they say. But it's the cause of a lot of the problems in marriage. That's obvious enough.
You think so, huh? I mean, that's your personal feeling about marriages as a whole and the troubles that stem from them. Get behind the bedroom door and you know the secrets of everything.
I can't say I like your tone, Mr. Parker. I'm not accustomed to being spoken to like that. And my time is very valuable, if there's nothing else.
I get the point, Mr. Monroe. Thanks for your help.
Later that afternoon, Parker went to see Dr. Frobisher, but on the doctor's insistence, he was accompanied by Mrs. Bartlett. The psychiatrist's consulting rooms were comfortable and conducive to relaxation, and Parker took to Dr. Frobisher immediately.
I asked for Mrs. Bartlett to accompany you for a specific reason, Mr. Parker, professional ethics. Stephen Bartlett is a patient of mine, and I cannot divulge to you anything which he might find in any way distressing.
Well, I quite understand, Doctor.
Indeed, without his permission, I cannot even reveal to Mrs. Bartlett anything of a confidential nature. I do hope you do understand my position.
Sure I do, and I respect the ethics involved. But I hope you can understand my point of view. We've been asked to find Stephen Bartlett, and I hope that you may be able to help us.
Well, let's see, shall we? What precisely did you have in mind?
You used a phrase to me, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it was. I know it sounds silly, but I thought of an aerodrome when you said it.
Syndrome? The incest syndrome?
Yes, that's it.
What about it?
Oh, without saying whether or not this has anything to do with your patient, sir, could you tell me what this syndrome is? Just a rough kind of outline?
I don't see why not. It's not at all an uncommon term in my field. No, it exists on a more widespread basis than is perhaps common knowledge. Its basis, to some degree or another, may be manifested in almost anybody. Now, that basis is, of course, an incestuous feeling towards a parent. Perhaps no more than a vague flicker of something not even given a name in the mind of the person concerned. Perhaps more than that, considerably more. In the case of a man, it's an incestuous feeling towards his mother. Now, If it's allowed to develop, it manifests itself later on in life in the man being unable to sustain a normal relationship with any woman. Eventually, you see, he will identify that woman with his mother. And this will create in himself a feeling of disgust and repugnance. The relationship with the woman will be eroded and eventually disintegrate. The man very often simply runs away.
I see. Yeah. Where does he run to?
Anywhere. It's like a wounded animal running to a dark place and licking its wounds. The man does that, sorts out his own problems as best he can, and then re-emerges to face a new life. New faces, new women, new relationships. But what he does not realize is that he carries his problem with him. He can never successfully run away from it. But he tries, Mr. Parker. He does try.
You don't make it easy for me. Is there any kind of woman that he might go to? A particular kind?
Yes, there is. A platonic relationship with an older woman, considerably older. The man might go to her to deliberately construct in her the image of his mother. And because of the age factor in his mind, the incest problem cannot arise. Now, here, but I'm going to do something which I'm not sure is right. I believe it is, mind you, but, well, I wouldn't be doing it.
What's this, Doctor?
Now, the name of a woman and her address. Nothing more than that. Now, I would suggest that you go and see her, Mr. Parker. Draw your own conclusions. And I'd suggest you went without Mrs. Bartlett. Do I make myself clear?
You do, sir. Without really saying a thing, you make yourself very clear.
The name on the slip of paper was Mrs. Gladys Epping, and the address, a house in St. John's Wood. Parker went round there immediately and rang the doorbell. When Mrs. Epping answered his ring, Parker was not surprised to find her in her late 60s and decidedly of a maternal bearing.
Stephen is such a nice man. So polite, well-mannered, and considerate. Quite unlike the people one meets nowadays. Here we are, Mr. Parker.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, I guess he is at that.
I was so surprised when he stopped his car at the bus stop and offered me a lift, and then insisted on coming out of his way to bring me right to my doorstep. Unnecessary, of course, but most appreciated.
Yeah. Does he come around here often?
Oh, almost every day recently. Just drops in, has a cup of tea and a little chat. I think he feels concern about me. Doesn't like the idea of my being lonely. Isn't that nice?
Sure. You don't often find people as considerate as that.
And so strange, isn't it, that a man like Stephen hasn't married. One would imagine that he'd make some woman most happy. Still, perhaps it's not yet too late.
Gladys, you heard?
In the drawing room, my dear. Do come through. I have a surprise for you. Here he is now, Mr. Parker. Stephen always lets himself in.
Hello there. What's the surprise, Gladys? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had...
Hi there, Stephen. Long time no see. I got a message for you from Ruth.
How nice to see you again, old man. From Ruth, you say?
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd be interested.
Yes, naturally. Gladys, my dear, I wonder if I might ask a favor of you.
Why, of course, Stephen. Simply ask.
I wonder if I could have a private word with this gentleman. Just a minute or two, then, sir.
Of course. I was about to go through to the kitchen to bring another cup of tea.
Good.
I'll take a week longer than I have to.
And who the devil might you be?
Name's Parker, Missing Persons Bureau. Your wife asked us to find you. I just did.
Indeed. Might I ask how? How, for instance, did you find out about Mrs. Epping?
Well, it wasn't too tough. You've been coming here just about every day, so I took the bull by the horns and invited myself in to wait for you. And don't worry about the fact that Mrs. Epping thinks you're not married. I haven't told her about your wife.
How obliging of you. So, Ruth set you on me, did she? I find that tedious, Mr. Parker, very tedious. I disliked the idea of my privacy being interfered with. Did Ruth happen to tell you why she wanted me located?
Just said she wanted to have a talk with you, that's all.
Is that so? Well, you can take a message back to her, then. Tell her that I have no desire whatsoever to discuss anything with her, that I resent the fact that she's gone to these sordid lengths to track me down. Is that clear?
I'm no errand boy, Mr. Bartlett. Why don't you tell her yourself?
Perhaps I don't choose to, Mr. Parker. What concern is it of yours, anyway?
Well, let's just say I'm curious, that's
all. Let's just say that you're far more than curious. Let's say that you're interfering, snooping, and thoroughly distasteful. And let's say something else, Mr. Parker, this. In my country, a private citizen does have some rights. I intend to protect mine.
That's so?
Most certainly. I'm not obliged to have people like you following after me, sniffing like little bloodhounds. If I find that you're continuing to do so, I shall call for a little assistance from the police.
No, I don't think you'd do that, Mr. Bartlett.
No?
You wouldn't want the trouble it might kick up. You wouldn't want people like Mrs. Epping here to learn the truth about you.
You... Very well, Mr. Parker. What is it that you want?
Not much. Just an agreement from you that you'll call your wife, arrange to have a talk with her, nothing else.
I see. Very well. I shall telephone her this evening. If Ruth wants it that desperately, why not? But I tell you this, Mr. Parker. Nothing could be more of a waste of time.
Henry Zimon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. You are listening to The Colgate Show, Address Unknown.
You finish your tea, Jill. I'll get baby a fresh nappy.
Wow!
Look at this nappy. It's twice white.
You bet it is. That's Bingo White.
Only Bingo has regular and ultra blue to get your wash twice white.
Ultra blue is Colgate's name for laundry blue.
And Bingo is the only washing powder to contain genuine laundry blue.
Put that...
wow!
...into your whites and colors. Get Bingo washing powder.
If you want kissability, you've got to have ultra bright teeth.
If you want kissability...
You've got to have ultra bright teeth. So shine
their
whitest, ultra brightest.
With kissy
tasting. Ultra bright toothpaste.
New extra strength, ultra bright toothpaste gives you the whitest teeth.
Yes, kissability comes with ultra bright teeth. Give your whole mouth kissability with new ultra bright toothpaste.
And here again is Henry Zimon.
And the end of the story? I'm afraid there is no end. Our client met her husband and had the talk she intended having, but it was to no avail. Stephen Bartlett refused to unbend or change his ways. Perhaps at his age it'd be difficult, if not impossible, to do so. Perhaps not. With help, psychiatric or otherwise, who knows? If Bartlett is very, very lucky, perhaps Ruth might still be waiting for him when he does come back. For love him she does, there's no question of that. The tragedy of this story is that it's a story that exists in one form or another all over the world. And now, as always, this is Henry Zimon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you au revoir.
The Colgate Show, Address Unknown, is brought to you every Saturday by the makers of Colgate Dental Cream, Colgate Toothbrushes, Colgate Shampoo, Colgate Hairspray, and Colgate Talc. Listen again next Saturday evening at 7:30 when Henry Zimon will introduce another story in the gripping and unusual series, The Colgate Show, Address Unknown. Listen on Monday morning at 8:45 to our next episode of The Reverend Matthew, a story of people, love, scandals, jealousies, ambitions, laughter, tears, and human conflicts.
And on the lighter side, a cash prize of 200 rand per week and that fabulous Ford Capri 2-litre XL automatic are still waiting to be won in our Sari 69 series. The address for your Sari 69 votes is P.O. Box 4014 Johannesburg. And do get your vote to us right away.